Again, a welcome to all our guests. We thank you for joining us this morning. This morning, we celebrate Christ the King Sunday. And in doing so, I want to point something out, and I can do this today because he's not here. If you look at the music that we've sang today, our music leader, Mark Antiojo, does a tremendous job picking songs that follow what we are going to speak about and follow the scripture readings. And when you get a chance, thank him and his family for their time and their dedication to helping with our worship service. And from the start of today, when we first started singing our opening hymn, we started singing about our King. Something that we should always remember, and yet in a lot of cases we don't. And it was interesting because this morning I picked this tie because it had all the names for Jesus on it. And I thought this is a tremendous tie for Christ the King Sunday. The only issue I got is I've had three people read it after I did, and it does not have Christ the King on it. But it is something that we always need to remember. And sometimes, in remembering it, we remember it wrong. Jesus Christ is indeed a king, but he's a king in a very different way than we think of an earthly king. He is a humble servant, one who has no huge castle, one who, as king, allowed himself to go to the cross and shed his blood for his subjects so that we could be washed in his blood and forgiven from our sin. And because of this great sacrifice of our King, I can bring you greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 18, verses 33 through 37. And I would ask, as you are able, to please stand for the hearing of the Gospel. In Jesus' name. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? Jesus answered him, saying, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end I was born, and for this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth, and that everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Amen. Please be seated. Now, for those of us who understand the story and the timeline of this, we understand that this is the trial before Pilate, before his death. Jesus has already faced the Sanhedrin. They want to kill him, and so they have brought him to the one political place in their world that he could be brought to death. Pilate. The Jews themselves couldn't kill him, and so they brought him to the political power that could. The representation of Rome. And so he stands before Pilate. Pilate, a person whom later would realize and state that there was no guilt in him. And yet, because of political pressures and because of what he was bound to do, which was to keep peace, he ends up ordering that Jesus be crucified. And this is really where our text is in the middle of. Pilate entered into his headquarters again and called Jesus and said, "Are you King of the Jews?" This simple question, "Who are you? Where did you come from? What is this all about? All these people are crazy. They want your death. You're causing an uproar." And this is the thing that Jesus did. Politically, for Pilate, this is the worst thing that could happen. He's appointed by Rome, and there's supposed to be peace in Israel. These people aren't supposed to be going all crazy. And Jesus, as he often does, answers Pilate's question with another question. "Do you say this of your own accord, or others say it to you about me?" What is your answer, Pilate? Did others tell you about me, or is this your answer? Is this who you see me as? And this really becomes the question today for each and every one of us. Who is this Jesus? Do we parrot those words of our parents or our grandparents? "Yep, Jesus is King." Or do we really understand what that means and who he is? Do we really, truly bow before his throne? You see, he asks us the question. As much as he asked Pilate that question, "Do you say this on your own? Or do we parrot this because this is where our parents brought us and they taught us what to say?" Not that that's teaching us is wrong. But have we really examined it and decided that yes, because of what Jesus Christ has done for me personally, I believe him and have faith that he is my King? Now, Pilate is not used to being questioned. And so he answers Jesus again with another question. To me, this is like two large political powers meeting, both neither one wanting to give really a specific, but we're going to talk this thing out. "Am I a Jew? Your own people, your own nation and chief priests have delivered me over to you. What have you done?" Jesus' own people, the Jews, and the chief priests, those who are considered to be the holiest of people, the most religious, have brought Pilate, Jesus Christ, to have him killed. And they told Pilate that he claims to be King of the Jews. And the reason that they did this was because it would be considered a capital offense to go against Caesar. A lot of these things are purely political when you get into this. But there is such great truth in how these questions are asked. And it really points out the shortcomings of religion. Here you have a people who have the Old Testament, God's inspired word, His direct words to Moses in the Pentateuch, His laws. And they turned it and twisted it as only mankind can into something that was religious. To the point that when the truth showed up, the person of Jesus Christ, they could not accept Him, would not accept Him, and in fact sought His death. And believe it or not, I don't think it would be much different today. If Jesus Christ showed up as a humble servant and started teaching in the same ways that He did back then, we too would probably seek His death. Because He would upset our norms. Our lists would no longer matter. What we saw as righteous and holy would no longer be, because Jesus Christ would shine the light of His truth upon our motives, upon our selfish ambitions, on our quest for control of people. And because Jesus has just told the truth, the Jews seek His death. And as I said, I don't think it would be all that much different today. What have you done? And this is Jesus' answer to that question. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not of this world. I think that this is one of the most important statements for Christianity today, especially within this country. Jesus' kingdom is not of this world. It is not a political power, nor was it designed to be. It is not a conquering army, nor was it designed to be. It is not even a political force. Jesus Christ's kingdom comes in the hearts and minds of believers. If you look at the world history, and you look at the wars, for the most part, at least in Western culture, wars have been fought and both sides have thought that God was on their side. And we can bring this right down to our country in the Civil War. God does not work through the power of the sword. God works through a much different way. We like to think of ourselves, especially those of us who are a little older, that we look back and want the Christian nation of our youth. We do not live in a Christian nation. It may have been founded upon those principles. It's no longer there. that does not mean that Jesus Christ is no less the King. It does not mean that we serve a God that is no less powerful. Like all nations, nations rise and nations fall. They've been doing it since time began. God has a purpose and a plan as He raises up nations, and He has a purpose and a plan as they fall. And yet Jesus Christ's kingdom never ends. As He stated in our scripture reading, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. We live in the time in between those two. How He chooses to do, what He chooses to do, is not our call. He is the King. Our calling is to proclaim His gospel. To humbly go out before people and let them know that God has loved them, that they are forgiven in that same King's blood. You see, we're a lot like the Jews. We would much prefer that our government would pick up the sword and make everyone behave like good little Christians. That's not Jesus' kingdom. My kingdom is not of this world. It's not a political power. It's not a spot on a map. It's not an army. In the sense of army that we think of, with guns and tanks and big bombs and planes. It's an army. But one that goes out with the Word of God. And what's very interesting is this, His army, the one that humbly goes out and serves other human beings, is more powerful than any army that you can think of. And in fact has destroyed nations. His Word and the proclamation of the Gospel has brought out the rise and fall of kingdoms in all times. We are not to really worry about political power. Now that's a hard statement, and it's probably harder for me than most of you in here. I am a news junkie. We were just talking about this today. I worry each and every time a decision is made in Washington, I get all broke up about it. Now most of you don't know that about me. Because I don't talk about it much. Because I know this truth. My salvation and the salvation of this world does not revolve around what happens in our government. Our salvation and our forgiveness rely solely on the work of God through His Son, Jesus Christ, and our forgiveness through His blood. That is it. We get caught up in all this stuff, and there is no reason for it. Shall we support and pray for our leaders? Absolutely. I do it every Sunday when I'm here, and I pray for them in my own prayers. We pray that God's will be done through them, that He will lead and guide them. But our salvation does not rely upon them. And what they do. Our president will be gone in 3 plus 7, 7, at least in 7 years, no matter what, for the most part, he's done. Jesus Christ will be on the throne. Some of the worst dictators in the world that were. Let live for many, many years. Stalin, Hitler, they were all powerful. People thought that they were the Antichrist. They are no longer on the throne. Our king is on the throne. Great nations have been raised up, and great nations have fallen. And our king is still upon the throne. But it is not here in this world except in us and in all the believers out there. And we are a great army. Our calling is to do what He has called us to do as our King, which is to spread His gospel, the words of salvation for all men. And Pilate gets the answer here. He says, so you are a king. Here's this political power going, yes, so you are a king. And Jesus comes down in this next line to stating as close as He can to what He is. You say I am a king, for this is the purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. And everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. Jesus Christ is calling us. Our King is calling us to hear His truth. To understand that our salvation does not rely upon our nation, upon our family, upon anything else, but upon Him. And what He has done on the center cross of Calvary, allowing Himself to be nailed there to shed His blood for the forgiveness of our sins. This is our King. Our King who goes to death for us. But our King also in 3 days who was raised to show His power, not only over this world and over sin, death, and the devil, but over life. And He has given you life. He has given you a motivation by the power of His Word and His Holy Spirit that is much greater than anything in this world. You are part of the kingdom of God. Your King is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The beginning and the end of all of this. You have no worries. God will carry us through all these things. All He asks is that we hear His voice and believe His truth. Our King is risen. Risen to new life and to give us new life in Him. Our King is alive. Our King reigns. No matter what circumstances we face, no matter what's going on in this world, our King is in control. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You and we give You thanks that indeed You have called us to Your kingdom through Your Son, Jesus Christ, that we can call Him King. We ask, Father, by the power of Your Word and through Your Holy Spirit, that You would help us to realize that even in the midst of sin, even in the midst of our struggles of daily lives, that You are our King. That You do not reject us for that, but, Father, that Your Son has forgiven us. We ask, Father, that You would help us to be Your army. To humbly go out into this world. To spread this message of Your gospel. And so, Father, to conquer this world. Through grace, through mercy, through peace, and through love. That, Father, all people would come to understand of Your love for them. And that, Father, it would become more and more real to each and every one of us each day. That our King cares about us individually. We're not just a number, but He knows us by name. Father, we ask that this knowledge and this truth would go to each and every person, that indeed they would hear His voice, and that we would cling to that voice each and every day. In Jesus' name, amen.